Welcome to Saving You is Killing Me, Loving Someone with an Addiction podcast. Loving someone with an addiction is a life of chaos. This podcast is to help you take back your power and build strength, hope, and restore peace in your life. We use the science and art of positive psychology, professionals in their field, along with personal stories of hope, resilience, and strength. We hope you can discover how the courage to focus on you can help put your life back together. When you are in a place of exhaustion, hopelessness, and emptiness, we are a community that knows all too well the turmoil that comes from loving someone with an addiction. We are here to help you compassionately struggle well. Hey there, Andrea Seidel here. I hope you're doing as good as can be. And I know I always say that because sometimes we might not be doing that good, but we're doing as good as can be expected given the situation that we're finding ourselves in. So welcome to the show. I am the author of Saving You is Killing Me, Loving Someone with an Addiction, the book series. And I have exciting news. I have another book that I've written. It is called Tainted Love, Stay or Go, Navigating Tough Relationship Decisions in Addiction. This book is so needed because I remember feeling often times when I was in support groups and I was reaching out and I was like struggling, so many people would just say to me, run as fast as you can, or get out while you can, or, you know, so much advice was given to me, and obviously coming from a loving place, I'm sure, or from their perspective. But what I was really lacking is that, you know what, my love for this man is so strong and I'm not ready to just run and leave. Like, I've committed 9 years to this person. And I was so like struggling because I knew that so much of what was going on in the relationship wasn't in line with what my needs were, wasn't in line with my values. And I was struggling to, you know, create boundaries and all these things. And I really felt like my love was tainted. It was tainted by the addiction. So I wanted to create a book that could support you, the lovely SYKM community. And so the book that I created was Tainted Love. And it really does signify how a relationship might be feeling, like when it comes to it feels compromised. It feels like it's getting destroyed in some way. And it feels like there's so many, you know, things to think about. And when it comes to addiction, like so many things might be eroded, like trust and intimacy and happiness. And, you know, through this title, I really wanted to capture this idea and this essence of the book that it's so challenging. It's so hard to know what to do. It's so like to make a decision, especially when we're so invested in the person that we're with. It's like to just say, okay, yeah, run as fast as you can. There's so much complexity here. And also you might be questioning like whether to stay or whether to leave, right? And also you might be having troubles finding that clarity amidst the chaos. And I know I was, you know, like that. So throughout this book, my goal was and is to provide you just with a really compassionate and empowering exploration that can really highlight your own enlightenment, like enlighten you to make good decisions for you. And that's basically different for everyone. So what you end up deciding is going to be perfect for you. And then if you end up deciding and then it changes, it's also perfect for you. So I just really wanted to shine like light and provide you with insights and tools and just a personal message that I can like help you guide through this journey of understanding yourself, understanding your relationship, and the impact of addiction and what the impact might be having, right? So the vision that I have for this book is just to offer a beacon of hope, to help build your resilience and to offer the readers their courage to embrace your own growth, whatever that looks like, to reclaim your heart and also to navigate your path, like so that you can go on this path with more clarity and actually feel empowered. So that idea of tainted love is that, you know, it's more than just a book. This book, Tainted Love, is meant to just be your companion while you are facing tough relationship decisions. It's meant to be your companion along the way that provides you with some support and some guidance and some just inspiration to help you while you're navigating this tough landscape of addiction. So I thought today for this podcast, I would just walk you through some of the concepts within the book and this idea of tainted love, like figuring out like, should I stay or should I go? And I kind of already started with like, it's a tough road. So in the book, I talk about acknowledging the complexities of relationships affected by addiction. It is so hard. And I just wanted you to feel that you're not alone on this journey and that it is really, really hard. And so this book is just helped to help you navigate a relationship that is you're struggling because you are with someone with an addiction and that this is so hard. And so I wanted it to be a guide through the murky waters of love that's been touched by addiction or how overshadowed. And so I just walk you through all these ideas. We have a heart to heart about, you know, I share my journey and like why I'm here and why I was struggling to make these tough decisions and things like that. And then also I walk you through all these ideas of, just it's all about finding clarity for yourself. It's not me telling you what to do at all, because you know what everyone has their own path. And so the idea here is just to help you find clarity for yourself. And I offer you ways to be very compassionate with yourself and understanding along the whole entire way. So chapter one basically talks about like this idea of like, if you loved me, you'd stop. And this is all about understanding addiction itself and the impact that it has on relationship. So understanding the addiction is so important because it understands, like, basically some people, you would get this relationship advice that's not like typical relationship advice, like would never work for us. And it is typical, like, you know, if you're really faced with this, and usually you would say run, right? Because there's abuse and this and that. But what we need to do is understand addiction. We need to understand it from a really realistic perspective. And we need to look at it from the perspective of understanding the self-centered nature of addiction. And we can take like a closer look at that. We want to look at like how the self-centered nature of addiction really does have a huge impact on the relationship and how it might be affecting us, right? The preoccupation, the loss of perspective, the manipulation and the deception, the neglecting of responsibilities. And then we want to look at this impact of it on our relationship, like basically the emotional strain, the codependency that we might be experiencing because we're caring, kind, loving people. And by the way, I have a whole different definition of codependency. It really just means that you're showing up like a caring, kind human. It makes sense. You know, you might be having trust issues. You might be feeling like your needs are neglected. So what we talk about too in this book, and we're all together as a team, but what we do talk about is how we need to prioritize self-care and having that on our path to healing. And then recognizing patterns, like understanding behaviors in relationships affected by addiction. We need to understand that so that we recognize, okay, like let's examine the realities of addiction, like an honest depiction of what that looks like, right? The unpredictability, the uncertainty, the emotional turmoil, the isolation, the loneliness that you might be feeling, like the financial strain potentially, or just impacts on our physical health or trust issues, all the things, right? Even impacts on children and family dynamics and or relapse and recovery, right? We want to recognize that what are the realities of addiction, how this addiction can impact our relationship, and what you might be experiencing, so that you, I needed to start off with, so that you don't feel alone, and why you might be seeing and experiencing what you're experiencing. Because that's the first step, right? And the idea is that that's saying, if you love me, you'd stop. It just can apply and doesn't apply, because it's just simply not true based on the realities of addiction. And then obviously navigating the emotions that come with it, addressing the emotional roller coasters of feelings that come when loving someone with an addiction. So powerful. So the realities of addiction provides us with a candid portrayal of basically of what it's like, the complexities and the challenges that are inherent in relationships affected by addiction. So this is so important just for you to know, because the reality is that as you reflect on your journey, you know, gaining that insight into the typical patterns and the typical emotional roller coasters, like that, you know, that addiction can have on you, it helps you. It can help you take a moment just to consider, you know, how all of this is impacting you. And it can really it helps you kind of understand the patterns, the emotional roller coasters, and it provides you with valuable insight while you're navigating tough relationship decisions. So the whole book is just to bring things to light and allow you to look at it from a very zoomed out perspective. And so it can help you in so many ways, right? This is just, this knowledge serves as a foundation for enlightenment and self-discovery and helping us on our path forward. So then I talk about in chapter 2, basically I called it Saving You is Killing Me. That's like from the other book, because like literally that's how it feels sometimes, is that assessing your relationship, like navigating love amidst addiction shadow. So this is where we move from the realities of addiction, what's typical, to actually like the impact of addiction on us. And we talk about all this idea of assessing your relationship, like looking at it, addiction's impact on your relationship, and how there is sometimes a misalignment of values and needs. And so basically how that's a recipe for disaster. So in the book, I talk all about this idea of navigating our needs and our values, and knowing that they're kind of anchors in the storm, like they serve as anchors in the storm of addiction. So we look at, you know, what your needs might be. What is it that you're needing? Maybe it's safety and security. Maybe it's connection and belonging. Maybe it's autonomy and independence. Self-esteem, it could be like recognition of who you are as a human. Maybe you're missing that. These are all common needs, right? And so we talk about kind of core values, also what's really important to you. So looking at, we delve into this idea of what is it that you value? So, you know, is it honesty? Is it integrity? Is it authenticity? Is it resilience? Is it perseverance? Is it connection? So knowing what you value and what your needs are, what you can do then is get a better understanding of if there is a disruption in your needs, if there is a disruption or a conflict with your values. And just by looking at this, it really does help us gain insight. Okay, what am I needing? What do I value? Huh? And just having that awareness, self-awareness is that first piece. And this is great for assessing our relationships. The other thing is talking about the selfish nature of addiction and how it's so selfish. And then we talk about actions speaking louder than words. We talk about what a healthy relationship looks like. So let's look at components of typically what a healthy relationship looks like. So knowing these key elements that contribute to healthy relationships, like trust or respect or equality or support or shared values, empathy, all these things, affection, you know, knowing what a healthy relationship looks like can serve as almost like a reminder. And then what we can do is get really clear on clarifying values. So like what matters most to you? And then also clarifying your needs. Like what is it that you're needing, right? And just discovering how your relationship, how it all of this plays a part in navigating your relationship. So much support on basically clarifying your needs. What is it that you're needing for yourself? What do you value? Kind of how to self-check in, all those things is so important. And that helps us in so many ways. So what you want to do is understand the impact, the actual impact of addiction on our relationship. And then just recognizing the components of what a healthy relationship might look like and what are the elements that make up a healthy relationship. Because sometimes I remember forgetting that a little bit. I kind of let it slide a little bit in terms of like what I was dealing with. And then also recognize knowing what it is that you value in relationships, knowing what you need is so essential because it helps us navigate tough relationship decisions. That information provides a framework for assessing the health of our current relationship and kind of evaluating, you know, does this align with my values? Does this align with my needs? And it's so powerful. I love that. Okay. So then in chapter 3, I talk about this concept of it'll get better. And I can't tell you how many times I said that, like this idea of it'll get better or will it? Because it's really hard. So what this whole chapter is about, navigating love's toughest moments. So balancing hope and reality. And what I love about this chapter is this whole idea that sometimes we feel like we're swimming upstream or we're talking to a wall and hope keeps us there. And so I look into elements in this chapter about why we stay, right? The strength of commitment amidst adversity. I talk about elements. So I humanize, like, you know, some people just say run as fast as you can, but then you're like, well, actually, you know, so it's important for us to look at various reasons why we might choose to stay in relationships affected by addiction, right? For one, there's love, there's commitment, there's hope, there's a sense of duty, there's, you know, maybe there's a fear of abandonment, or we worry about their health if we do leave. Maybe there's children involved, maybe there's like so many things, right? Fear of loneliness, there's so many things that keep us there in a relationship. Emotional investment, all kinds of things. So then I talk about the pitfalls of optimism because, oh my gosh, this was me 100%. I used to think, my nose is so itchy, I'm apologizing for rubbing my nose. I used to think it would get better. I used to keep telling myself, oh, it's going to get better. Or, you know, I was so optimistic that, you know, when he would make promises to me that I kept thinking it was going to get better and I would use my positive thinking. But really there is pitfalls to optimism and understanding the limitations of positive thinking. And basically optimism can backfire in the context of addiction. So we talk about that. What are the reasons for that? And then we talk about confronting the reality of the situation, right? When hope is backfiring and we need to tap into self-preservation and how that's so necessary. And just having this awareness, like the pitfalls of excessive hope, you know, how we need to balance hope and reality, and just how that can be really important for self-preservation. I talk all about this idea of agency and autonomy and staying in control and influence in your life, reclaiming your agency and autonomy. And then also navigating internal conflict, like how we're often told, like, how do we want to be empathetic and understanding and compassionate towards our addicted loved one. So we're trying to balance that empathy, but also balance self-preservation, like preserving our well-being. And so I talk all about this idea of the disease model and how it's a dilemma because it provides such guilt and confusion in regards to this idea of being empathetic and compassionate towards our addicted loved one. But then also, I need to save myself here and like I need to preserve my own well-being. So I talk all about that and how our empathy is tested in this internal conflict and how we have the urge to save and things like that and what we might be doing or what you might be doing in your relationship. And maybe sometimes we have this illusion of control, so we need to recognize our limits. Oh my gosh, I go into so much detail on all this stuff, like how we can find peace and acceptance of letting go of guilt and resentment and all these things here. So all about balancing hope as well as personal self-preservation. And so by reflecting on this, it'll get better mentality or mindset and the potential drawbacks of excessive optimism. And it can really provide us with valuable insights as we navigate tough relationship decisions or relationship decisions affected by addiction, right? We want to confront the realities of addiction and embrace a balanced perspective that kind of balances this idea of hope as well as realism. And so that's so important and essential as well. Yeah. So then in chapter 4, I talk all about this bruised heart. Oh my gosh, my heart often just felt so bruised. And so what we want to do is recognize and unmask the shadows and of addiction, recognize abuse, recognizing unhealthy patterns, and just to bring this to our attention. So it's so important for us to look at this, because sometimes we sweep it under the carpet or we excuse out the behavior or we're in denial about it or things like that. So we want to understand the intersection of addiction and abuse and just recognizing what might show up, how abuse might manifest in various ways, such as physical abuse, emotional abuse, verbal abuse, even sexual abuse, all kinds of different forms of abuse, and how by understanding the interplay of addiction and abuse can actually help us. It can help us stop the cycle. It can help us in so many ways, and just self-awareness here. So I really wanted in this chapter to unmask the potential abusive behavior or unhealthy dynamics that might be showing up in a relationship that's touched by addiction. Knowledge is power. So I just wanted to empower the reader, to understand this, like the subtle veil of unhealthy patterns and being able to look at it, right? What are some examples of how addiction's complexity can contribute to the emergence of unhealthy patterns? So I talk about the emotional roller coaster. I talk about isolation and secrecy. I talked about blurred boundaries. I talk about escalation of conflict, all kinds of things like that, disrupted communication, loss of intimacy, all the things, right? Control and manipulation, verbal abuse, all kinds of things, right? And then we move into this element of, you know what? Actions speak louder than words. So just getting honest with yourself, looking at the actions instead of listening to their words. And so then I move into this tough conversation of prioritizing truth, how we can get honest with ourselves and that we need to love truth more than we love love. And I did a whole podcast on that one. That's so powerful, I found, because I loved love more than I loved truth for so much of the time I was in a very disruptive, abusive scenario in my relationship. So then again, just cultivating awareness, recognizing the impact of abuse, right? Recognizing red flags, looking at different types of abuse, looking at gaslighting, understanding the impact on your well-being of what might be going on, and just taking that time to reflect and notice the impact of abuse or the turmoil that comes from this relationship. So we want to learn how to break this cycle, learn from healing from trauma and ending abuse of things. I talk about trauma bonds, all kinds of things in this chapter. And it's so powerful and it's so enlightening. And that's the whole point of this book, is just to bring things to light so that you can better navigate and understand what it is that you're going through and what the potential of making informed decisions, making good decisions for you. And so that's about it for chapter 4, is just this concept of a bruised heart. It really talks about this emotional toll of potentially abusive and unhealthy relationships and how it can underscore and kind of help us in the importance of unmasking potential issues in a relationship. So just by shining light on them, right, on these hidden wounds or scars, we empower ourselves to prioritize our own well-being and make decisions that are aligned with what's right for us. It's in line with our values and our needs. And these insights, I hope that they help you, the reader, in this situation. Okay, so the next chapter is all about crossing the line. This is about navigating boundaries, talking about ultimatums and kind of rules for love. And I, of course, we had to have this chapter because it's amazing how boundaries just get crossed left, right, and center. I resorted to ultimatums all the time. And the thing is that boundaries can be so confusing, but I tried. I wrote this chapter probably, I think I wrote it like 8 times because I wanted to make it so user-friendly in terms of navigating boundaries and then understanding the difference between personal boundaries and looking at it more as rules to live by and how to protect your well-being, but then also looking at boundaries as limits, like, okay, you've crossed the line here kind of thing. So I think I did a really good job actually in the end, ultimately, because it took me so long. So this idea of regardless whether you're staying or going, protecting your well-being is essential. And knowing your personal boundaries, what's important to you, setting your own boundaries or your rules to live by is so powerful because it kind of makes you more aware of, they keep crossing this line. It kind of makes you more aware of the, like, you know, of what you're going to tolerate in a relationship. And I try to demystify boundaries, right? Like looking at it from a very new perspective. I think I did a good job of that. And so some examples of boundaries, I gave loads, like I talked about the different types of boundaries, emotional boundaries, physical boundaries, social boundaries, time boundaries, financial boundaries, all kinds of boundaries. But then I also help you craft and create your own personal boundaries or declarations. And then I go into this whole concept of navigating boundaries, understanding ultimatums and imposed boundaries in relationship and how they don't work. And that it's so common, we feel out of control. So we're trying to, you know, the common sense when you love someone with an addiction is to, you know, we feel helpless. So we're trying to resort to threats or ultimatums as a last ditch effort kind of thing. And so we talk all about that in that chapter and talked about imposed boundaries and then also looking at limits. So understanding the boundaries of like basically in your relationship and accepting, know what your limits are. And also responses to helplessness, right? And why boundaries, that basically when we feel helpless, that is why we resort to ultimatums and threats. So then I talk all about navigating boundaries and breaking points. We call that something different. So basically here's why knowing your limits is important, right? Self-awareness, boundary setting, self-respect, empowerment, healthy relationships. So it's defining your limits can serve as a line in the sand. And then it really does help us with making future decisions. And it really provides empowered decision-making. So I talk all about empowered decision-making to help you through that and just making informed decisions in your relationship, right? So that kind of ties all in. So that's a great chapter and it's absolutely huge. And then I get into nonviolent communication, how to communicate your boundaries. And it talks about the language of love. And then that's a big chapter. The boundaries chapter is a really big chapter. And that's all about crossing the line. Okay. And then I go into with or without you. Okay, exploring your options. So we want to find your path forward, but we want to, you know, if we only have two options, stay or go, that kind of feels like, it's kind of hard to navigate. But there may be, you know, it may not be as black and white. There's also gray. You could be in transition. You could love from a distance. You could detach with love. You could stay at a friend's house. Like there's so many options. So I call this one with or without you. So it's all about exploring your options, finding your own path forward. And it's different for everyone. So this is all about now. This gets kind of into the heart of it. It's about navigating the decision. So stay, leave, or find a middle ground. So we talk all about weighing pros and cons. We go down thought experiments of staying, of leaving. I have powerful questions that you can reflect on. And I talk about the power of change and motivation for change. So I talk about the psychological model of change. And we talk all about the stages of change and things like that to help you to kind of see where you're at, but also to see where your addicted loved one might be at in terms of recovery and seeking recovery. So I go into those details. I talk about motivation for change in relationship to an addicted loved one in your life. And then we talk all about, sometimes we're just waiting for things to get better. And so while we're waiting for things to get better, you know, what is it that we can do? And, you know, and also honor this idea of transitioning. Sometimes we might just be transitioning and recognizing that while we're navigating a relationship impacted by addiction, sometimes you might be in periods of transition, and these phases, we might be grappling, you know, with complex emotions and uncertainties. And so the whole goal of this book is just to help you in this transition, in that state of flux or uncertainty, right? And that's it. Like, transition in essence signifies you're on a journey, right? And so you're just in movement and you're just navigating that. So I always recommend, again, just meeting yourself with compassion, self-compassion, while you're going through this transition. And so we talk all about transition. We talk about acknowledging fear. So looking at nurturing compassion amidst all this uncertainty, because I know I had so much fear while I was in this grappling stage, you know, and identifying those potential fears. Like, I felt like the fear that's keeping us in the relationship, right? Fear of that's driving you to leave potentially, fear of your well-being, you know, fear of making a decision, all these things. There's so many things that might be standing in the way. So we talk about options, like exploring other options. So, you know, taking time away or implementing a safe for now approach or looking love from a distance, like I said, or focusing on you. You could still be in the relationship, but then totally make it all about you. And that's really fun. And that's what I did too for a while, is I had to take a step away, right? Again, so there's so many options that you can look at potentially that can help you through all of this. And so that's what this whole chapter is about, like, you know, reflecting on all of that, like basically recognizing that exploring all your options, right? Because you might not have thought of something, you know, whether to stay or whether you're staying or going, you know, understanding the stages of change can help us, understanding where we might be at in stages of change, considering different options for moving forward. We gain this sense of agency. We gain this sense of feeling like we have control over our life, and a sense of hope even, and empowerment in our decision-making. So that's chapter 6. And then chapter 7 is like, oh my gosh, if you could read my mind. I remember used to saying that all the time. Like, if you could read my mind, like what a tale my thoughts would tell. It's like, because so many times I'd be like, I would be like, the thoughts that would go through my mind, like, oh my gosh, like I need to put a for sale sign up at the end of the driveway. Like, this is it. Like, you know, you suck. Or even to myself, like my internal dialogue, sometimes I'd be so hard. I'm like, Andrea, how could you be so stupid to take them back again? Look at this. Like, so this chapter is all about the inner workings. Like, if you could read my mind, like we delve into the intricacies of navigating relationships touched by addiction. So in this chapter, it's all about a journey inward, like connecting deeply to your inner voice. What's your inner voice saying? Cultivating self-awareness, like embracing your intuition and offering self-compassion towards yourself in the complexities of tough relationship decisions. So yeah, so in this chapter, I talk all about this idea of listening to that inner voice, trusting your intuition and understanding what that is and what it might look like, and the power of introspection, like getting quiet and listening, self-reflection, so important. And yeah, and also the idea of mindfulness, just quieting that mind so you can hear, times of solitude, also inner obstacles. So basically empowering like your mind through cognitive challenges. Like, so basically it's like taking your thinking to court. I mean, I used to say to myself, I was so mean. I used to say, Andrea, how could you be so stupid? I remember that. And then, so what I wanted to do is provide you in the book with this idea of cognitive behavior therapy or CBT. And it's just this beacon of light, like in dark moments when we're really mean to ourselves, it's like taking your thinking to court and allows us to really look at it from zoomed out lens so that we can better respond instead of react. But then also take our thinking to court. Like, that's not true because you're amazing, or that you're not the one with the problem. That's why it's not true. Like, you know, like things like that. So you're taking your thinking to court kind of thing. So you're recognizing those negative thoughts, and then you're questioning the validity of those negative thoughts or troublesome thoughts that are like destroying you. I love that. And I walk you through that whole process. And then talking about navigating emotional turmoil, like it's all about looking at not bottling up all those emotions, like getting it out, talking it through, journaling, the power of writing it out, creating narrative around it, communicating, and just being honest with yourself. And that's how we can navigate that minefield of like, what could be possible? Understanding, you know, it's normal to bottle things up sometimes, but it does damage. And so we talk about that and not bottling it up, and empowering responsive communication as well. And it's almost like releasing the pressure valve. I swear to gosh. So yeah. So I talk about that and actually how that can help you navigate tough relationships decision, like how to stay grounded amidst the chaos. So this one's all about your emotions, getting up into that inner voice and inner dialogue, meeting it with self-compassion and inner nurture. Oh my gosh, there's so much in this book. I hope you're getting a lot out of it. And I hope that you, if you are in a relationship, that you do purchase this book, because it is so good. It's going to be available on Kindle, paperback, as well as audio version on April 4th. So here we go. So the self-compassion, nurturing yourself through difficult times, so important and impactful. And that's it. Like basically with this chapter is all about cultivating that self-compassion, trusting your instincts, listening to your inner voice. It's so essential when making tough relationship decisions, especially with relationships affected by addiction. Oh my gosh, we need to listen to that and honor it. Inner nurturing voice too plays a significant role in decision making. Okay, so then the last chapter, chapter 8, is all about putting your own oxygen mask on. And you know I'm all about this. Self-care is one of the C's in our 4C model for saving you is killing me. And I had to touch on it in this book, obviously, because if you don't have my other book, Saving You is Killing Me, Loving Someone with an Addiction, which is all about resilience and self-care and self-compassion, the whole book is about that. I had to do a chapter about this, a little bit about this, about affirming your value, knowing your worth, empowering yourself on the path forward. So in this chapter, I talk all about prioritizing your self-care, basically nurturing your well-being, knowing what's important to you. It's kind of like the how-to of self-care that's really effective in honoring yourself and ways to really nurture that. All about self-care for self-preservation and resilience. So how those intercept, especially while you're navigating a tough relationship decision. I also talk about self-care for managing stress and building resilience while you are in this tough relationship decision-making process. And then I talk about embracing community. As you know, I'm all about community, reaching out, finding support, the importance of that when you're in addiction's shadow. What else did I talk about in this chapter? And then courage. So this is all about, I love this part. This is about crafting your vision for yourself, for your future. Oh my gosh, this is one of my favorite parts of the book, actually. So sometimes we think, okay, and so I got to fast forward to the part that I love. So I talk about love lists, and this is one of my favorite things to do, and I did in my relationship, is create a love list for yourself. And oh my gosh, I tell you exactly why it's important, how to do it, all within the book. But essentially what it is that you think about all the qualities and characteristics that you want in a relationship, and you create this love list for yourself. And why this is so important and so good is because whether you stay or go, this really does bring to light what's important to you in a relationship, right? It helps you reflect on what it is that you're needing, wanting, and what you value in a potential partner. And so this helps so much. I cannot tell you, it helps you so much navigate your relationship, right? And it helps you move slowly in the direction of who it is that you want to be with, what type of relationship you want to be in. And you can see how yours measures up and things like that. And it's so powerful. Like, even though I know you're already in a relationship, that's why you you probably purchased the book, Tainted Love, Stay Your Go. And so, but this is such a powerful tool. And then I always say it's like a benchmark that allows you to compare your current relationship against your authentic desires. What it is it that you actually love, right? And so the other thing is create what you, the values and qualities. So flip it, make a love list that is basically you, your value list. Like, what are the qualities and characteristics and attributes that you bring to a relationship? I love this part because it actually helps you build your own strength and resilience and what you contribute to a relationship. And it's so good because it's going to help you like boost your courage and also recognize what you have and what you bring, your worthiness of what you bring to the table. So that is a wonderful way to kind of create a capture. It's almost like your own love list, but also your myself love list kind of thing. And so powerful in just taking a snapshot of what it is that you, your truest desire, what's true for you. And then another thing we talk about is crafting your future self. So it's thinking about, what it is that you desire for yourself, thinking your future self amidst like this relationship, right? And connecting to your future self is so important because like, what would that future self be telling you? And then creating a vision around that, kind of helping you. And that's so empowering because it helps you navigate tough relationship decisions. And then obviously empowering narratives, like embracing your, you know, hope amidst a shadows of addiction is like, what is it that you hope for yourself? Or how can you make yourself the hero of your own story? So I talk about becoming the hero of your own story, how to shift the narrative, the power of narrative, and how to identify your strengths as well as navigate the challenges that you're going through, overcoming adversity and how you handle that. And then just embracing the growth and how strong you are. I love all those things. So those are really important when it comes to nurturing yourself, right? In this last stage or this last chapter is all about putting your own oxygen mask on and affirming your own value and that kind of thing. So powerful. I hope that is so helpful. And I think that's about it. I'm just scrolling through. And this book, Tainted Love, is so important because it's going to help you find light in the shadows of addiction, like whether you stay or go. And this will help you with navigating clarity, navigating challenging and the complexities of loving someone with an addiction. It's so hard. Your heart might feel tainted. The love might feel tainted. Whether to choose to stay, go, or find a middle ground, it is very deeply personal. And throughout this book, my aim was to empower you with self-awareness, with knowledge about addiction, with the realization that what you're experiencing is shared by so many others, and that you're not alone. I wanted you to feel that you have valuable tools for resilience, to build your inner strength and just enlightenment, and empowerment to prioritize yourself. And that's about it. It is really, really a fun journey to walk yourself through the toughness of navigating a relationship touched by addiction. So I hope that this was kind of empowering, that inspired you if you do have a relationship that's touched by addiction and your love feels tainted, and you're navigating the stay or go. I hope you got some out of this podcast, but I also hope that you do, you can buy a pre-order right now if you're listening before April 4th, but if you want to grab your copy, it'll all be available on April 4th. It's such a good book. It is what I needed when I was grappling with stay or go. And I really do want to wrap you with love. You've got this. I always say that you've got this. Whatever path you choose to walk, know that you possess strength, that you possess resilience and inner wisdom, right? And you will navigate this. You're navigating it already with grace and courage. And I just want to help you embrace that healing process, honor your truth. I want you to continue to grow and learn and just flourish in life and have so much happiness and fulfillment along the way. And also just remember that you are not alone. You are supported. We are here for you in this community. And so I just wanted to send you so much love and hugs and warmth. And thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for listening. If you want additional support, you can head on over to our website at savingyouiskillingme.com, where we have a wonderful, supportive, compassionate community. We are here for you. You are not alone. We also have a private Facebook group and Instagram feed called Saving You Is Killing Me, Loving Someone with an Addiction. Be sure to subscribe here so you get the latest episodes. And, of course, share this with your community and your support groups or anyone that's going through this struggle so we can all work together to take our lives back and restore joy. Thank you so much for joining me, not only today, but week after week. Although I wish we were meeting under different circumstances, I'm so grateful that I get to show up for you and share these episodes so that we can go on this journey together. Until next week, sending hugs.